that's good for you, because you can't take the screen home with you. You know, Al can't go home with you. Hallelujah. Al put the scriptures up for us. But you know, you find them in your Bible. You know, bring you a marker. You say, oh, but that's God's word. Well, listen, if you can't write in your Bible, put it aside somewhere in a special place. Buy you another one that you can. Isn't that right? I got Bibles that all I wrote, you know, everywhere, you know. Again, you know, I'm not saying that doesn't make you more spiritual, but listen, I found this out. You know, we need to do things that cause the Word of God to go deep within us, deep in our consciousness. And there's something about it when you look at it and you read it and you mark it and you God speaks to you about it and you write a little notation. Man, it's getting in there. It's getting to a place where it's going to germinate. And then it's not just, you know, pastor's word or Joyce Meyer's word. Bless God, it's your word. I talked Wednesday. Boy, I tell you, those of you missing Wednesdays, you're missing some good stuff. I'm going to tell you. I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you. Some good stuff. I talked about Abraham and Lot. How that Abraham had a word from God. Lot just had a tag-along word. He never had a word. He just tagged along. And too many times in our lives as Christians, what we've got is we've got a tag-along word. We heard somebody on TV preach something, or we heard the pastor preach something or something, and we heard, wow, yeah, but we never really made it ours. Yeah. Oh, we can talk about it. We can get excited a little bit about it, but it's a tag-along word. It won't produce in our life. If you look at the end of Abraham, look at the end of Lot, and you see the difference between having a word for yourself and just having a tag-along word. See what you missed Wednesday night? And that's just a little bit of it. You need to go on the website. Go on the podcast. Click and listen to that thing. I'm telling you, it'll help you in your walk with God. Well, turn to Job chapter 22. This week, we're starting a week of prayer and fasting. Amen. Thank you, honey. Yeah, my wife's happy about it. Listen. Yeah, there's some extra benefits there. But I want to tell you what. The greatest benefits are the things I'm about to share with you this morning. Listen, we need to mark 2009. Why are we calling for this time of prayer and fasting? We want to mark 2009. Amen? I want to mark it. I want to set my course. I want to set the spiritual climate. I want to set the target up there. Bless God, this is a target for my faith in 2009. Last year, if you were here, or last year, last week, if you were here, I said, I encourage you to begin to pray and set three goals. Something spiritual, a spiritual goal for your life, something to do with your finances, and then something to do with your family. Did I get that right? Did I remember that right? I remembered my own sermon. That's good. So we said, set those three, because what? Those are targets that we're going to be setting. This week, the kingdom of God is this way. You have a spiritual action now where you release your faith, whether it's prayer, confessing the word, an act of obedience, giving, whatever it is. You put something in motion. Are you listening to me? You put something in motion. You may not see the immediate result of it right there, but something's put in motion, and on out this way, it's still working. It's still in motion. It's still active. It's still alive. It's still powerful. It's still working. Listen, you can pray now and you can send stuff ahead for February, March, April, May, June. That problem you don't even know about in September. You dealt with it way back here in January. Amen. Well, listen, if you can save up for retirement, bless God, you can send something ahead spiritually. Why wait till you get in a crisis? Boy, that's good preaching, Pastor. Job 22. We're going to talk about the power of prayer and fasting. In Job 22, pick it up with verse 21 there. It says, submit to God and be at peace with Him. What is the first reason that we're approaching this new year, this week in prayer and fasting? The first thing is we're going to submit ourselves to God. No matter what else we may pray about, no matter what else we may set for our agenda this year that we want God to do in our lives, in our church, our community. Listen, if we are not submitted to God, it is for vain. It's vanity. submit to God. What are we talking about? I'm talking about submitting your motives, your attitudes. You know, submitting yourself to God. Everything about you. All that I have, the gifts, the talents, the resources God's given me. I'm telling you, more than ever before, God, in 2009, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying religiously, you are Lord. I am declaring it in this fast. I am submitting. God, you put your finger on anything in my life you want to this week while I'm waiting on God, while I'm listening to you in prayer and fasting. You speak to my heart. You speak to me about a motive that's not right. I've got a wrong motive. I'm maybe pursuing the right thing, but I've got the wrong motive. Whatever it may be, God, again, Lord, you speak to me. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, putting aside, let us lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily entangles us. You know, some things are very obvious sins. Other things are not. You know, I can remember, I grew up in the country, as you all know, but walking through, you know, sometimes you'd be going through the woods and everything, and sometimes, you know, you'd brush aside this limb, and you'd see this big old spider web there and all that, and you avoid that, but sometimes, right down here around your feet, where you couldn't see that good, all the vines and the, you know, and the roots were growing something, next thing you know, boy, you just trip right over. Your feet got tangled up. Because what? They weren't that easily seen. They were down low beneath the surface. And many times it's the little foxes that are tripping us up. It's the little thing, the motive of the heart, the integrity of our heart, the things that only God knows, that only God can see. We may not even be aware of them ourselves till God shines the light. And then we go, oh yeah. You ever had that oh yeah experience with God? He said, well, what about this? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So the first thing he says here, he says, submit to God. Submit to God. And what? When we submit to God, what's going to follow? We're going to have peace. That's right. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen in 2009. Maybe you've got the prophetic insight, and that's great. But I'll tell you what, whatever happens, whether it gets worse before it gets better, whether, you know, the economy turns around, whether it don't, whether this happens, that happens, the other thing, one thing about it, I'll tell you what, I want peace. I want to know that I've got peace with God. I want to know everything is set and in order in my life before God as I approach 2009. Because whatever, listen, it's not the problems. It's not the tests and trials of life that defeat us. It is what we do in them. It is the state of our heart when we enter into those things. And you know, many times the tests and the trials are what actually brings it out, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're very patient until you get something that, you know, begins to work on you. Isn't that right? Everything's going your way? I'm so patient. You do everything the way I want you to? I'm so understanding. Isn't that right? God says, submit yourself. So the first thing is, the fruit of submission is peace. Peace with God. And notice what he says in this. He said, in this way, prosperity will come to you. Prosperity. Prosperity of soul. I'll have peace. You know how much people who have all the money in the world? Man, we had Al and them had us over, and we had dinner last night at the condominium that he manages. And I was walking through that parking lot down there. They had cars that was worth more than my house. But you know what? A lot of those people don't have peace. So when he says prosperity, first thing is, I'm going to have prosperity of soul. I'm going to know that things are right between me and God. I'm submitted to him. I'm going to know that things God needed to address in my life, in the hidden places, he's dealt with. I've got peace with God. And he said, you're going to have prosperity. Prosperity of soul, prosperity of mind, prosperity of finances, prosperity. When God speaks of prosperity, he's talking about every area of the human condition. God never thinks as narrow as you and I do. Isn't that right? I mean, look at creation. Did God just make one kind of flower? Just made all roses. Roses are so nice. I love them too. But God didn't make just roses. We looked at orchids. Strange looking things, but beautiful flowers, the way they grow. But he didn't just make. He made all kinds. You know, he made a half a million species of bugs. So God, what I'm saying is, when God says something, don't think so narrow as a human thinks. Remember, this is God speaking. He said prosperity. And remember what the apostle John prayed over there in 3 John 2. He said, beloved, I wish you would pray above all things that you may prosper even as your soul prospers. Listen, prosperity is not about Wall Street. Okay. It's about a heart right with God. Amen. He said, 22, accept instruction from his mouth during this time of prayer and fasting. Listen, yes, you talk to God, you pray to God, but listen, you listen a whole lot. Do you hear me? Listen. He said, accept, notice what he said here, accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Listen, how many of you need some wisdom, direction, insight, inspiration? Shall we go on down the list? We all got our hands up. Listen, during this time, you're going to take extra time. The time you would be doing other things. Set aside that time. Set aside the meal time. Set aside that time. Turn off the TV. Turn off that stuff. And listen, get before God and listen. And he says he's going to, what? Give you a word of instruction about your life. Listen, it's wonderful that you had a word for last year. But listen, this is a brand new year. You're facing different circumstances. You're going to face things this year that you have no idea are even coming. And you know what? You need a word from God. Some of you, maybe you've been dealing with something for a number of years now. Listen, it's time for you to get the wisdom of God. Get insight from God. He said, when you're in this time of prayer and fasting, he said, accept instruction. He said, I'm going to speak a word. Expect for God to speak a word to you. You say, how is he going to speak a word to you? Well, he may speak out of the Bible. He may quicken a verse to you as you're reading. He may speak the still small voice of God. He'll speak to your heart. It'll just kind of float up to your mind. And all of a sudden you think, wow, where'd that thought come from? It's way over my head. Didn't come from me. Amen. And God will begin to speak to you. As a matter of fact, next week, I'm going to be talking about divine guidance. We're going to be talking about that, how God leads us, how God directs us. But expect to receive a word from God this week. I want to tell you, one word from God can turn your whole situation around. Amen. Listen, the word of knowledge is not just for a church service or at a convention. The gifts of the Spirit are for you this week as you wait on God in prayer. God will give you a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a part of the knowledge of God concerning future events and circumstances and direction and purpose and plan for your life. A word of knowledge about your present situation, things that may be going on right now. You need wisdom about that. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, and you ought to expect that they will operate as you fast and pray and listen and wait on God. And listen, one word from God, it'll turn your situation around. One word from God. Israel was in a situation over there in 2 Kings, about chapter 6 and 7. They were in a terrible famine. I mean, they were cooking one another's kids and eating them. Boy, you think you're in hard times. And on top of that, an army has surrounded them. They couldn't get out. They didn't want to stay in, and they couldn't get out. You ever been that way? You know, like the guy said, you know, he's talking about, you know, the guy said, well, where were you yesterday? He said, man, he said, I was sick. He said, I was so sick. He said, I wanted to die, and I was afraid I wouldn't. I mean, they were in such dire straits, and that what? The prophet had a word. He said, this time tomorrow, there will be abundance. Listen, you need a word from God. You need a word from God. You don't need to go to that other conference or anything. Nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand. But listen, what you need more than that is you need to get alone with God. You listen to God. Let him speak a word for you for 2009. And then it says, lay up his words. Listen, when you're in this time, you get your Bible, you get you a notebook, you get you a pen or a pencil. I mean, why? That's expectancy. God, listen, I'm expecting you to speak to me about my life, about my family, about these three things, about these. I'm expecting a word from the Lord. And I'm going to lay it up. As soon as you write, I'm going to write it down. It ain't getting away from me. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to keep it before me. I'm going to build it into my life. I'm going to declare it over my life in 2009. Amen. He said, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Listen, while you're in this time of fasting and prayer, waiting on God, it'll be a time of restoration. Restoration. How many of you know, even serving God, you can get weary? Come on. We all know you can. You might as well agree with us. Isn't that right? You can get weary. Your flesh can get weary. Your emotions can get weary. You just get tired. Maybe you've been in battles in 2008 and you've been battling and believing and standing fast and everything. And you just feel like, you know, it's just all been sucked out of me. You've never felt that way. Well, here's the thing about prayer and fasting. This is a time God says, you return to me. He said, there's going to be restoration. He said, I'm going to renew you. Psalm 92:10, he says, I will anoint you with fresh oil. Fresh oil. And you know what? Remember what Jesus said? Fresh oil and new wine requires what? Fresh wineskin, doesn't it? See, God wants to restore you, to get you in a position so that you can receive the new wine and the fresh oil. So that you can be restored. The Bible says he wants us to mount up on wings as eagles. Amen. Stop slogging through, you know, that old rut we talked about. Remember, we said a rut is nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out of it. Stop slogging through that. Let God renew you. You wait on God. Listen, how many of you got a favorite worship CD or tape or something like that? Well, the rest of you need to get one that ministers to you. You know, you put it on. It doesn't matter. Well, it may be country western sound, or it may be a contemporary. Or what? It doesn't. It's irrelevant. If it ministers to you, honey, play that thing. And as they say in the South, sing it, sing it. But you know, worship is important during this time. You want to be restored? You put that tape or that CD on. You get those hands up. You begin to worship God. If you have to, get in your bedroom, get in the bathroom, or plug it into the car and go drive out in the country then if you're afraid somebody's going to see. But just do it. Begin to worship God this week. Spend part of that time. Listen, worship is the highest form of prayer. So we're still talking about prayer and fast. You're worshiping God. Oh God, I love you. God, you're the greatest. Just love on him. And just he's going to pour fresh oil on you. You're going to start getting saturated. All that dry spiritual skin's going to get renewed. Man, you're going to get filled up. And the next thing you know, you're going to have more than you can hold. That's when it gets good. Because you got enough. What? You start letting God fill up your baskets. You got some baskets to start handing out. You get start ministering to others. You start getting a new passion in you again about Jesus. About the lover of your soul. About the redeemer of your life. About the fact that he's made you more than a conqueror. The enemy's under your feet. You can win the victory. You can succeed in 2009. Amen. God's got bigger things for you. Man, you'll come out of that place after this week. Man, we won't know you. Now, wait a minute. He looks the same. But wow, what happened to them? Like you got plugged into a 220 voltage. Come on. Listen, I'm not just hyping you. This is the truth. This is a spiritual dynamic. He said, if you remove wickedness far from your tent and assign your nuggets to the dust and the gold of Ophir to the rocks and the ravines, then the Almighty will be your gold and the choicest silver for you. Listen, during this time, other than if it's an area you're praying over, listen, put all the stuff where it belongs, beneath God, beneath the Lordship of Jesus. Listen, you know, sometimes I have to just look at it this way. I'm just telling you something that helps me, it might help you. I look at it and I say, okay, what's the worst that can happen? If I fail, you know what? As man says, fail. If I fail, what's the worst that can happen? Well, you know what? I'll still be loved. I'll still be saved. I'll still belong to the God of the universe. Amen. God will still have a plan for me. He'll still have a purpose for me. And he will lift me up again. If that's the worst that can happen, that ain't too bad, is it? Amen. That's it. Because I'm going to tell you what. There is no advance without risk. Amen. In God, if you want to advance in his plan and his purpose, if you want to advance in your spiritual growth, if you want to take new lands and conquer new enemies, listen, there's going to be some risk, but I'm telling you what, just look at it. Maybe it'll help you if you look at it like I do. What's the worst that can happen? Hey, hallelujah. How many of you know what to do if you fall? You guys are smart, I'm telling you. Listen, he said, surely then you will find delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You know, the Bible says that David said over there in Psalm 3, he said, he's the glory and the lifter up. You ever notice when you start worshiping God, you know what your head wants to do? You know why? Because your head down is shame. But your head up is you're looking to the Redeemer. The one who lifted all my shame. The one who took every burden. Oh, he's the glory and the lifter of my head. We worship him this week. Amen. You return to the Almighty. He says, delight in God. Now, listen. If you go this week and you allow yourself, you fast, okay, you go without food, but you allow yourself to get so busy, and listen, you're going to be tempted to get busy. Stuff's going to scream at you that you would never think of doing. That laundry needs doing. You need to fold those clothes. Right, you normally think of that, don't you? You know that thing you've put off for months, you need to go do that. Things will scream at you this week. He said, here's what you got to do. He says, you've got to delight. Because see, if you go without eating, but you don't delight yourself in the Lord, all you did, we fasted, you dieted. Yeah, okay. And we hope you lose some weight. Because you want to get something out of it. But he said, delight yourself in God. Delight yourself in God. Take those times. Set aside those times, meal times or times when you would relax or whatever you would do. Maybe even put some stuff off. You know, there's some stuff you can put off. You've done it before for a week and the world didn't stop. Come on, fess up, you've done it, and the world didn't stop. How much more to delight in God? I'm going to tell you what, bless God, I don't care if the laundry don't get done this week, I'm going to get a word from God. Bless God, amen, I don't need to get the laundry done, I need a word from the living God, for my life, for my children, for my family, for my community, amen. Notice he said, boy, it's starting to get good now. I mean, we've just been kind of circling the airport. But boy, listen to this. You will pray to him. You will pray to him. Listen to this. And he will hear you. Now notice, this follows all the other. Now I know a lot of times we want to jump to 27. I do too, just like you. I'm human. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's just like New Year's resolutions, you know. We make all those resolutions, but it don't amount to anything unless what? You do what it takes to arrive at it. Isn't that right? So all these other things he said first, he said, if you do that, he said, then what? You will pray to him and he will hear you. You will fulfill your vows. In other words, when God begins to deal with you, and you're submitting yourself to God and God begins to speak to you about areas of your life, and you say, okay, God, I hear you. That's right, Lord. That's right. I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to change my thinking there. I'm going to deal with that motive. That's why he said your vows. Yeah. Are you listening? The vows you make before God. When you respond to God. Notice what he says. What you decide on will be done. Wow. That's why I said write out three things. What you decide on. What you decide on, this time of prayer and fasting, what you decide on will be done. You didn't hear me. During this time of prayer and fasting, God says, what you decide on will be done. Amen. What you decide on concerning your family in 2000, what you decide on in prayer, what you decide on concerning your walk with God. Your recommitment to God. What you decide on concerning your family, your finances. What you decide on concerning the move of God in your church, in your community. He said, whatever you decide on. See, a lot of times we just want to pray, God, you know, whatever you want to do. And that there may be times for that, but I want to tell you right now what God's saying. He said, what you decide on will be done. What you decide on. See, I've had people say, well, I said, well, what's the purpose of your fast? Well, nothing in particular. Well, okay. And then those same people will complain, well, that fasting stuff, no, I don't get nothing out of it. Well, that's what you asked for. You said you didn't want nothing. Didn't you get it? Yeah. Isn't that right? Don't get mad. You got what you wanted. He said, light will shine on your ways. Listen, I want the light of God's favor on this church, on my life, on your life. Isn't that true? Don't you want? I want it. The favor of God. You read over there. Remember Daniel? Because when I close, I'm going to talk a little bit about Daniel's fast. But Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you read about them, they were men of prayer and fasting. You read about it. Now, you look at their lives and you look how the favor of God was continually upon those four men. Listen, they were foreigners. They didn't even have a green card. They were forced into exile. I mean, they were captives. They were slaves. They were nobodies. They had no rights. They had no privileges. They had nothing going for them except one thing, a commitment to God. And they said, we are not going to defile ourselves, but we're going to give ourselves to God. They had times of prayer and fasting, and you look at them, the light of God's favor was on them. They were promoted. They were delivered from the lion's den. They were delivered from the fiery furnace. I mean, kings. I mean, listen, kings rose and fell, and these four guys just kept going. Yeah. Wow. It wasn't just because they were so smart, and the smarts they got, where did they get them? God. But here's the thing, they had favor. I'm going to tell you, a missing ingredient in many of God's children's lives is they have not procured this kind of favor we're talking about, where, I mean, man, the light of God's on you. I mean, it's like, I mean, you know, you can trip and fall and land on your feet. I mean, God is just there. God's hand is on you. And you know what? You can procure it for your children. I said, you can procure it for your children. He said, light will shine on your ways. Now listen to this. Man, I'm telling you, it just keeps, as one brother said, it keeps getting gooder and gooder. Better and better. Listen to this. When men are brought low, know anybody that's brought low? A family member, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor. He said, when men are brought low and you say, lift them up, Lord, then He will save the downcast. Wow. See, up until now, everything we talked about is dealing with me. Dealing with the issues of my heart, dealing with the circumstances of my life, dealing with the blessings of my life. But God says now, He says, I'm going to take you up to a higher level. He said now, not only what you decide on in your life is going to be done, but He said now, when you cast your eyes during this time of prayer and fasting, you look around and you see somebody else. You see somebody that's lost, somebody that's hurting, somebody that's broken, somebody that's going through. He said, when you say, Lord, lift them up. Lord, set them free. Lord, deliver that one. He says, it will be done. Wow. Anybody know somebody that you would like to see that happen? I do. We all do, don't we? Man, listen, this prayer and fasting stuff, man, I'm telling you what, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. We're not just playing games. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. That's what we're going to be doing this week. He said, then you will save the downcast. Listen to this. It gets even better. It says, He will deliver even one who is not innocent. I got family members that are away from the Lord. They know better and everything. Well, He said, even if they're not innocent, He said, I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to deliver them. But they walked right into that. They knew what they were doing. They knew better. He said, I'm going to deliver the one who is not even innocent. The grace of God, who will be delivered, look at this, through the cleanness of your hands. Remember, this is why we got to go through that first part first. We got to submit to God. We got to let Him shine the spotlight. We got to let Him deal with those areas. Then we, as we progress in this thing, during this week of prayer and fasting, you go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from level to level. Until we come to the place where He says, when you begin to intercede for others, He said, whatever you decide on, it's going to be done. Whatever you declare, you say, Lord, lift this one up and deliver them. He said, it's going to be done. And even somebody that's not even innocent, they're not even trying to follow after God. They're not even seeking God. He said, they'll still be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Listen, this is the church in action. This is what Jesus died for. This is what the blood is interceding for in heaven right now. This is what Jesus... Listen, we start doing this, the church will literally be the church. Not just in name, but in deed and in truth. And that is what will be the testimony. Amen? Man, I'm telling you what, people start beating a path to your house, to your door. Boy, I'll tell you, I need God. You got to pray for me. Yeah, you've got to pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. We got to get over to grace. We got to get them people. Pray for us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We get to the place where, you know, the mayor starts showing up. Listen, we got to cry. Y'all got to pray for the city.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We need you, them people over at grace. We need you to pray.
Declare that.
The governor starts talking. We need you to pray. Listen, church, we're to be a lighthouse. We are the stewards of the mysteries of God. We are the carriers of God's power and God's deliverance for a generation. What we're doing is we're doing like that woman who had that perfume. She had it in an alabaster box, but in that state, it did not do any good. It had to be broken. And there needs to be a brokenness that comes to our lives in the church. Because when a brokenness comes to our lives, then what is on the inside, the greater one, the life of Jesus, what, that thing is released. Everybody in the house felt the influence of that alabaster box. Whether they were sitting in the back, in the kitchen, at the front, in the middle, the aroma went everywhere. That is what it's about. And you know, as we pray and fast, our bodies, which are those alabaster jars, you know, it's not pleasant to be broken. Until after the process, then it is. It's glorious. But the process is not always so comfortable. Our bodies are saying, feed me. Things are screaming out, you need to do this. Crazy person over there with a CD on, worshiping God. You nut. Come on. Everything is screaming at us. Everything. And yet he says, if you will go through the process and let there be a brokenness that God will bring to us. He said, you know what? The aroma. You know what? You can't stop an aroma. Isn't that right? Once the box is broken, once it's out, that's it. It's going to be carried everywhere. That's what God wants for us. And so we're going to prepare to enter in. And what I'm suggesting and encouraging to do is something that we call the Daniel fast. And in Daniel, you can read it over there in chapters 9 and 10. We won't read it right now, but you can read it later. Basically what it is Daniel said, he said, I'm going to put aside, you know, all pleasant bread. You know, we'd call that all kind of sweets, things like that. He put aside meat. He basically ate fruits and vegetables is what he ate that week. Now, let me just preface this. You know, if you're diabetic, you got a medical problem or something like that, talk to your doctor before you go on any kind of a fast. Okay? You hear me? Okay? You know. But if you're in reasonably good health, then this won't hurt you at all, physically, I'm speaking. But, you know, you put aside those things, you know, and just, you know, maybe you want to take your favorite foods or something, but it needs to be something so that there is a real sacrifice. David said, I'm not going to offer God anything that doesn't cost me something. So you set it aside. You set it aside, okay? And drink, you know, during this week, drink lots of water. Okay? Drink lots of water. Keep plenty of water and fluids in your system, okay? I'm talking about some natural things now, but we need to do that too. Okay? All right? And so take care of yourself, okay? We don't want anybody to get sick over this. So make sure, you know, you're in good health. You do that. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm calling for this week of fasting. Now, if you are at a place where you can do 7 days, I would encourage you to do it. If you can do 2 days or 3 days, whatever you can do, okay? No condemnation. If you don't fast the whole week, there is no condemnation. Everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because I don't know your situation. God does. But whatever you can do, if it's just a meal a day, but everybody can do something, I believe. Okay? And when you do that time, however extensive or short it may be, okay, give that time completely to God. You miss a meal, give that meal time completely to God. And all of us can certainly put aside a lot of the other things that we do every week for a week. Amen?
Amen?
Things that take up our time so that what we spend extra time with God. We're praying. We're listening. Remember, I got my Bible with me. I got my pad, my pen. I'm expecting God to speak to me from the Word. I'm expecting God to speak a word for me by the Spirit of God to give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge about the three areas I've written down. God's going to speak to me. God's going to guide me. Expect that. Yeah. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not listen to." Don't be concerned. If you get a word and you're not sure about it, just go to the Bible. Confirm it with the Bible. Amen? Any word the Holy Spirit gives you, okay, it's going to at least in spirit line up with the Bible. Amen? Amen? If you're not sure, then you go to the Bible. If you're still not sure, you see me or one of the elders, or there's a number of people in this body, mature people, you can talk to them. Amen? So we do that this week, and we're going to enter into it. We're going to believe God for breakthroughs. We're going to believe God for breakthroughs. Listen, 2009, we're going to set our course. We're going to raise up the target. Amen? You know, it's an interesting thing. I was watching a movie one time, and they were discussing something, and talking about hitting the mark, and they had a dartboard, you know, throwing the darts. We'll pretend that this is the dartboard right here. And they were standing about, 10, 15 feet away. And the guy says, "I can hit the bullseye every time." You know what he did? He took it in his hand and went. And when we pray and fast, you know what we're doing? That's exactly what God's saying. He said, "I guarantee." He said, "You're going to hit the bullseye. Not because of your skill, but because I'm going to be in the midst of it. You're going to hit the bullseye for your life for 2009. Amen. We had some information, so I won't go over it. If you didn't get a copy of this, you can get one out in the foyer. It's got a lot of good information about fasting, both natural and spiritual things and different kinds of fasts. I would encourage you to get a copy of that. But we're going to set ourselves. Now, have you written out your three things yet? If not, now we're officially going to start this tomorrow in the morning. Now, you want to start today, that's fine. You can start anytime you want to. But the call fast we're calling for, we're going to start it in the morning. But if you haven't got your three things written down yet, an area for spiritual breakthrough in your life, for financial breakthrough, and dealing with your family, okay, those areas, you write those down this afternoon. Get them settled, okay? You get them in that notebook I was talking about. You keep that there. Get down to it. Listen, you ought to make it like a business. Us God, I'm not fooling around here. I'm not playing some kind of little old religious churchy thing here. Man, this is life and death. I've got to have this. I've got to have this. I'm going to have this. You said I could have this. I'm pursuing to have this. I'm pursuing you. But we write those things down. Then expect God to speak to you. He'll speak to you about your family. He'll speak to you about your finances. He'll speak to you about 2009. Amen. Then you'll be prepared. How many of you know that there's going to be some bumps in the road in 2009? Yes. I don't mean to be a downer on you. But listen, You get ready. When those bumps come, you pull that pad out. You can tell that devil, I've been expecting you.
That's right.
I got the antidote right here.
Yes, sir.
The word of the Lord. Listen, it'll change. Listen, you can change the destiny of your life, your family this year. We can change the destiny of this church.
That's right.
That's it.
You know? It's up to you and I. What are we going to do with it? Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand on your feet? You want to do the lady sing? Paulette is going to do that. I almost forgot, didn't I? Huh? Well, yeah, in just a minute. Yeah, bring the... Hang on a second here. I got to love making an announcement. I forgot to make an announcement earlier.
Thank you. Good morning.